Good, hello. Good evening. All right. Well done for the buzz outside. We're like the toast thing, the point of that is that's just as much church as the moment that you walk through the doors, you know? So it's just fun to see the family of God connecting. There's a bunch of people that have never been here before or are just checking it out and checking out, is this Jesus thing real? So you're particularly welcome. The reason we gather is not because it's like an in crowd, it's because it's an open invitation. So you are, of course, invited, and so are your mates. So just in case over the Christmas period you're thinking, I'd love some of my family and friends to know God is real, this is a really good space for them to spot how real God is, because the Bible says when we meet together and love one another, people notice the love of God. So I do encourage you in those Christmas services coming up, think, who could I be inviting? And like Hazel prayed for, how can that flyer be a personal invitation? Not just a leaflet, but a personal invitation. So I encourage you, keep inviting. Now, we're talking about Mary tonight. What a legend. I've just been hanging out with some Catholics in the Czech Republic, so they're a big fan of Mary. So I feel like right now, I've seen a lot of Mary statues in my life. But I just want to give us a little bit of context, because we read from the Gospel of Luke, and it's worth us remembering how Luke writes and Luke's agenda, as it were. So Luke is a doctor, so he writes quite a lot of information, adds quite a lot of detail to his gospel in a way that some of the other writings don't. Matthew and Mark, they're a little bit shorter. Mark's like the Daily Mail headlines. Luke decides to add in lots of extra things that he thinks the other boys missed out. And that includes particularly this narrative of God being there for the marginalized and the poor and the forgotten and the downtrodden and the people on the edges and on the margins. And so Luke gives us this amazing account of Mary. And that's important to remember because Luke is the guy that consistently pays attention to those that society don't at the time. It's Luke that tells us that the birth of Jesus was announced to shepherds, the unclean poor on the hillside, not just kings in palaces. It's Luke that consistently shows us the role of women being absolutely fundamental to how Jesus chose to live his life, including paying all his needs and salary off of rich businesswomen. So Luke makes a real point of uplifting those that would have been forgotten. So it's no surprise that it's Luke that gives us this beautiful account of Mary, because we also need to remember a little bit about Mary. She isn't, in fact, just enshrined in blue and white with candles around her. Mary is a very controversial figure for Luke and, in fact, God to make such a big deal about. Now, the trouble is with Christmas is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you've been raised on the stories of this time of year. And even if you are more of those, the whole wave of the population that rock up to church around December and then we don't see them for a year, that might mean that you've heard these readings hundreds and hundreds of times before. And that's a bit annoying, really, because this is actually one of the most devastatingly world-changing stories that you can hear. But we become so familiar with it that we go, oh, that's nice. Angel appeared to Mary. Mary went, sure, I'll have a baby. The baby was Jesus. Hooray. And we sort of forget that this is all highly controversial. This says something huge about what God's about. And Mary isn't just meek and lovely and let's light candles. Mary is a really bold choice to be the carrier of the presence of God. Mary is likely to be a teenager when the angel turns up to her. So back in the day, in Jewish society and in the culture at the time, women really didn't have any status. In fact, Jewish leaders used to pray and thank God that they weren't a woman. That's how bad it was to be a woman in society at the time. So the only way that women had any rights, any voice, any provision was really if they got married, because it was a bloke that gave you status and that could do anything, and it's the woman that really was powerless without being married. So this is why it makes sense that Mary was engaged to be married when she's probably a teenager, because that was what was done, okay? So in order for Mary to have any sort of life, she had to be married off. She's engaged to a bloke called Joseph. Joseph, we know, is actually one of the good guys. Like, he's a nice guy. God actually chose him to be like the foster dad for Jesus. And Joseph is a God-fearing man who is faithful. And so it's not like he's a bad choice. He seems a pretty good fella, and God wants him to raise his kid. So we can pretty much say Joseph, sound. But Mary is the one that gets appeared to first. It is Mary that gets spoken to. It is Mary that gets delivered the message. And then later on, the angel tells Joe about it. But it's really important that we realize God chose a teenager. He chose a teenager not from any particularly impressive background either. Nazareth is in a town in Galilee. And you later on see in scripture that people go, Galilee? Does anything good come out of there? Like, oh, like, wouldn't go near Galilee. Jesus' hometown hasn't got a good rep. And Mary was growing up there. So she's got no status because she's female. She's in Jewish society and so likely was just kind of basically about being at home and then having kids. She's also from Nazareth in Galilee, so she's really not from the good estate. And she's not got any money to her name. She's not even that old, so it's not like she's got a lot of education going on right now. It's not like she would get trained like the boys do. Mary is a pretty unlikely person to be the number one choice to carry the presence of God. That's unlikely in the world's eyes. But in the way that God works, of course, he chooses the unknown, the insignificant, the person you'd least expect to be this prophetic symbol that God has come for literally everyone. So when we think Mary, let's not think wearing blue and white and looking very, very holy. She's actually a teenager off the estate. Now, there's a few things that just by reading this passage, I noticed that I just thought I'd walk us through. And my prayer really is that we look afresh at a story that you've heard hundreds of times before, some of you. And there's just some things I noticed that I thought, wow, Mary is actually an amazing example of a disciple, amazing example of somebody who follows Jesus. And my hope really is that we'll all be more Mary, right? I just want us to be more Mary, because Mary's pretty amazing. So, here's the first thing I noticed. When Mary gets appeared to by an angel, by the God's messenger, right? The messenger immediately says to Mary, Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. First thing I want us to notice is Mary hasn't done anything yet. Mary is not impressive yet. Mary's just a teenager. She's just chilling out at home, getting ready to get married, getting stuff in order. What I love about God is that before you do anything, he says, you are blessed. I love you. I am with you. This is an extraordinary thing about Christianity, is that unlike any other world religion where there's this sense of God is there and you spend your life trying to earn your way to where God is. In Christianity, God comes all the way to us before we've done anything for him, and he says, I love you. And so we've got this beautiful example at the start with Mary. She's not done anything, and God says, you're favored. Favored? Yep, unearned. Unearned. It's not because you're special, it's not because you'd really tried to impress me. I choose you, and I love you, and you've not earned my approval, I just love you. That's where it starts, and that's brilliant news. Because if any of us sitting here tonight thought, oh, I'm not really good enough to be in church, I'm not really good enough to follow God, the great news is God goes, I make you good enough because I love you, and without you trying, I am with you. Now, would you like to do some stuff together? So, the first thing we notice is that God is with us and we have his favor before we've done anything. And we can receive that. We can be like Mary and we can receive that. Secondly, and I don't know whether people talk about this very much, Mary, the scripture says she was greatly troubled by that blessing. The messenger of God, an angelic being, shows up. We don't know exactly what Gabriel was wearing and what he looks like, but the fact that Gabriel has to say, do not be afraid, would suggest it isn't like completely fine. It isn't completely normal how he's rocked up in the room. Because if you're telling someone not to fear, there must be a bit of stuff going on for her. Basically, Mary is a little bit freaked out. And I wanted to say that because that's really important to remember. Mary is actually human, right? Which means when an angel of God shows up and says, you're blessed and God is with you, her first reaction isn't, brilliant, I am your servant. Her first reaction is, oh no, what does this mean? Really human. Sometimes we feel like God might be speaking to us, and we don't go, brilliant, I'm just here, Lord. You go, really? Oh no, what's he saying? What am I going to have to do now? And, you know, particularly if you've encountered God for the first time and you didn't think he was real, and then you've just realized, maybe even tonight, you've just realized, uh-oh, I think God might be real. That's actually quite a scary moment. You know, it's not all just like, oh, lovely. You're a bit like, whoa, this is actually going to change everything. And Mary has that moment. She's a bit troubled because she's like, if this is legit and God just turned up as an angel to give me a message, this is going to change something. And that's a little bit scary because generally people don't like change. Even if it's good change, we don't really like the uncomfortableness of changing. So Mary has a brilliantly human moment and she's a little bit troubled. It's okay to be like Mary and to have a few freak out moments of going, God, what does this mean for me? Even tonight, some of you might be thinking, oh, I think God is real. What does this mean for me? That's okay. That's what it means to be a bit more like Mary. You have a troubled moment. The next thing, which I love about Mary, is that she wasn't afraid to ask a really obvious question. She wasn't afraid to basically ask questions and have some doubts. Essentially, an angel shows up and says to her, Mary, you are favored, the Lord is with you, you are going to give birth to a baby, a son. He's going to be God's son, and you're going to call him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Quite rightly, teenage virgin Mary says, honestly, quick question, biology speaking, I know I hadn't stayed in school for my GCSEs, but even I know how it works in terms of where babies come from. How is that possible? How? What I love about Mary is that she's not afraid to ask God questions. She's not afraid to doubt. She's not afraid to go, I don't get it. And I think sometimes in church culture, we get this impression either that everybody else has got it sorted and it's only us that's reading the Bible going, I don't really get it, or I actually had a really hard week this week and I don't really know where God is. You know, and we start to have this isolated experience of maybe I'm the only one that ever thinks that God, like, I don't really understand him, or I'm not really sure he's here. Actually, I guarantee the person sitting next to you has had doubts in their faith, because welcome to being a person. If you knew everything there was to know about God, God's probably too small. You probably made him into your own version of God. We shouldn't know everything about God. He's massive. We shouldn't understand everything God says. He's supernatural. It doesn't always make sense. Mary's being really human here and going, what you've said does not make sense. Physically, it doesn't make sense. I can't get pregnant. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes we just need to be a bit more comfortable in our friendships and in church culture at going, I don't really get it, God. I don't really understand how God works. I don't really understand how miracles work. Brilliant. Great question. Neither do I. And yet we must seek God on them because he does do them. It does happen. So we can be more Mary, and that just means getting more honest about our faith. Asking God really good questions. Asking God really obvious questions. Jesus, how? How does that work? And so, of course, the angel explains to Mary, okay, this is supernatural. This hasn't been done before. This is a God thing. God is going to basically gift you with his presence. He's going to make you pregnant, and you're not going to have slept with Joseph yet. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is the plan of God. God is going to put his presence in you, and you are going to bring forth life. But it's fair enough for her to ask the question, because if I was Mary, I definitely would have asked, how are you going to do that? So Mary gets a bit more answer from the angel, and she starts to feel a bit more confident. Okay, I can see how God might do it. And the next thing Mary does, which is so inspiring, is that basically she goes, then I'm in. Yeah. Mary is a yes girl to God. She's available. And her response to God, her response to God's invitation of this is what I've got for you is, I'm in. Yes. And I wanted us to pause for a minute on this idea of how responsive we are to God, because there's a few things we can learn about Mary by what's said, even though we don't know anything about her, I don't know, 14 years of life before this point, right? Mary, she's Jewish. So she's grown up with the first bit of the Bible that we've got, she grew up on those stories too. So she knows that God is with his people. She knows that God is actually for her people specifically. And she knows that God is faithful. Mary, for her to stand before an angel, and for the angel to say, you are going to receive the presence of God and then give birth to God's son. For Mary to say, I'm your servant. I'm in. Yes. I'm here. Use me. For her to have a yes response must mean that her growing up life has been a life of hundreds of secret yeses to God. lots of little moments of obedience to the will and the way of God. You don't get a big yes to carrying a baby supernaturally without having hundreds of little yeses and God proving to be faithful. You can't do that without training. For all of us to follow Jesus, the first time you meet Jesus, he might not say to you something absolutely massive like, Jesus, I've given my life to you, brilliant, give me your house. He might not say that, he might. He might not say that straight away. But what he might start to do is go, brilliant, will you from now on give me your Sunday nights? Will you from now on give me your salary so that you pray before you decide where to put your money? Will you from now on give me your neighbours as a priority for how you love people? Will you from now on give me your voice and no longer gossip? Will you from now on give me your mornings? I want half an hour of your time before you do anything else. You know what I mean? So as we walk with Jesus, you'll notice he starts to say, would you do this with me? Could I have that? Hey, you don't need to carry that. Hey, do you think you could let go of control of that? Do you think you could trust me with your relationship? Do you think you could trust me with your job? Do you think you could trust me with your thoughts? Do you think you could trust me with your habits? What we can see from Mary is to give a big yes to an angel, that's hundreds of secret yeses to God in her normal life. That's why I want us to be more Mary. Because faith and obedience is kind of like strengthening a muscle. Basically, the more you exercise faith, the more you exercise your little yeses to God, the stronger you get. And the more you prove that God proves himself faithful when you trust him with a little bit and he proves faithful, and you trust him with a bit more and he proves faithful, and then you think, I'm going to take a running jump at this, and you trust him with something massive and he proves faithful. By the time it gets to an angel going, will you carry a baby supernaturally? You actually go, how's that going to happen? Right, you have explained, brilliant, I'm actually in. Why? Because I've done hundreds of little yeses and God is faithful. So I just wonder if there are actually some little invitations. Even now, the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, would you trust me with this? For some of you in the room, it might be a big invitation. Like God might be saying, will you give me your life? Will you trust that I'm real and that I love you? Will you give your life into the hands of Jesus and watch him save you? That might be one of those big yeses. But I bet for some of you, it's a little yes. Hey, would you just share your Christmas table with somebody that's going to be on their own? Yeah, I could actually do that. Will you be brave and door knock your neighbours and actually invite them personally to walk with them to church for the Christmas carol service? Yeah, I could actually be brave and do that. I wonder what our little yeses are, because you don't get the big yes of Mary without hundreds of little yeses. And I love that she did that. And the thing is with Mary's yes, this is a little bit different to our context. Because if a teenager got pregnant, not married... Now, you might expect, in our culture, to be honest, it's pretty normal. I've got some mates in that situation right now in Teesside. There might be a bit of gossip. There might be a bit of, bit of scandal. There might be a bit of judgment from people. I'd hope not the Christians. I hope we'd embrace them and work out how we walk together like family. But in Mary's culture, teenager gets pregnant outside of marriage. She's supposed to be a virgin. Mary can lose her life. Like, actually lose her life. Firstly, her family can kick her out. That's brought shame on the whole family. And she's living with her parents. She's relying on them. It's not like she's got her own salary. She's living with mum and dad. Her marriage is broken off, so that's her status gone. Oh, yeah, no, there's no way she can marry Joseph. No, she's a tainted woman now. No way. So they'll probably look at Joseph and wonder whether it's him. But Joseph's a good guy, upstanding in the community, which is why Joseph wanted to divorce her quietly, so that Mary wouldn't get shamed publicly. So Joseph's best idea is to let it go quietly, because there's absolutely no way he can marry her, by the way. Mary, when Mary says yes to being pregnant with the Son of God, Mary has laid her life down. It's not like Mary's just going to be a gossip column for a week. Mary's lost her family. Mary's lost her home. Mary's lost any money and provision for her. Mary's lost her future husband. Mary's lost her future. And Mary could be stoned. Mary could die. Being more Mary is being incredibly brave. Being more like Mary is being incredibly full of faith that God is still good, even though all the facts would say you have basically just committed suicide. By doing that, your life's over. And still, Mary goes, if God said it, let the Lord's will be done. I'm his servant. That is remarkable faith. Remarkable from Mary. And of course, we know by the grace of God that Gabriel's pretty busy, actually. So when he's chatting to Mary, he also goes to see Joseph. And he has to give him a heads up and go, look, son, you're doing a really good job. I understand you're trying to honour her. I understand you don't want her to get killed, so you're going to divorce her quietly. I get it. Actually, you need to stay with her, and you basically need to be the foster dad of Jesus. And Joseph takes just as much courage, just as much bravery, because everyone's whispering now. She got pregnant before they got married. Was that him? Was that someone else? Everyone's whispering, and Joseph sticks with her. Why? Because Jesus said so. God said, you will raise Jesus. I am faithful. You can do this. So Joseph also took a massive step of faith. Fair play to him. Mary is incredibly courageous, and we get shy about knocking on our neighbour's door. We get shy about offering to pray for our work colleague. Mary thought she's losing her life for the sake of getting Jesus. Actually, that's the funny thing about being a Christian. On the day that you say, God, will you move into my life? Jesus, will you move into my heart? I don't want to pretend I'm my own God. I want you to be my God. On the day you become a Christian, you get born again, whether that's from when you were first very, very small like me, because mum and dad introduced me, so I always welcomed him in since I was little, or you just heard about him last week. From the moment you receive God, you do lose your life, and yet you find life. Mary gives us a really good picture of what it means to be a Christian. God says, I want you. Mary goes, have all of who I am, even if it costs me my life. And God goes, then through you I will bring life. It's amazing. Mary's story could be our story. We can be more like Mary. And the final bit we get in this passage is that amazing kind of worship song that Mary speaks. And that's actually also pretty incredible, because Mary is choosing to worship before the promise has happened. God has said, you are going to carry my presence. Mary has yet to give birth to Jesus. In fact, she's probably in the first trimester, right? So she's probably in the first 3 months. So she's probably aware she's pregnant, but she's not really showing that much yet. Whilst the idea is just a little growing seed, Mary praises God for his promise and his faithfulness. She praises God in hopeful expectation of what is to come. That is Advent. This is the start of December. This is this moment of the waiting and the lighting and the expecting and the hoping for God made knowable to come. Mary worships God not because it's all happened yet, but because he said it and he is faithful. So she worships him ahead of experiencing everything that he said. And for some of us here, you know God's faithful, but you haven't yet experienced it in a certain bit of life. Whether it's you're waiting for a visa application to come through, or you're waiting for a breakthrough with a family friend, or you're waiting for health stuff to be resolved, or you're just waiting to not feel so sad all the time. The amazing example that Mary gives us is that even before Jesus was there in her arms, the promise fulfilled, she started praising God for his faithfulness in hopeful expectation of what is to come, Advent. We can do that as Christians, because the cool thing about prayer, about loving Jesus, and about worship is that it's not feelings-based, it's faith-based. Which means when you don't feel like Jesus is very near to you, you can still thank him that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Even on the days when you don't feel like God's promises are true, you can still praise him because God is faithful even when we have very little faith for it. We can be more Mary. We can choose to worship in hopeful expectation, even though life isn't all that you'd hoped it would be yet. That's okay. Mary gives us a great example of that. And Mary lives quite an extraordinary life. It's not like just the birth was her big thing. No, she consistently proves her faithfulness, and she keeps on pointing to Jesus. She's amazing. She goes looking for him. They lose him, age 12. careless for the Son of God, but massive community, right? So you could have had like hundreds in a group all going to like a city trip. They lost Jesus for a few days, just thought it was with one of the cousins or something. Anyway, they go searching for him and eventually they find him in the temple. And he was, to be fair, a bit cheeky because he was like, you should have known that I'd be here, Mum. Come on, I'm in my father's house. So it's a little bit confusing because it's like Father God, but also Joseph was looking for him, so come on, fella. But basically, you watch Mary from the start. She's taking care of Jesus. She's looking for him and she's pointing towards him. She's always witnessing to Jesus. At age 12, she's like, me and your dad were looking for you. At the wedding in Cana, she says to the servants, just do whatever he says, point to Jesus. When he's teaching crowds, Mary goes looking for him again. Where's my son gone? Why is he teaching in there? Mate, there's a massive crowd. I'm trying to talk to you. She's looking for Jesus. She's attentive to Jesus. When Jesus is beaten and disfigured and being crucified and the boys run off, it's Mary that stays. Mary watches her son die because Mary still, from the moment she knew that she'd carry him, Mary had faith in Jesus. She had faith that her son was everything that God said he'd be. And so she stayed with him even when she watched her kid die, because she had faith that this was exactly what God said would happen, and that he would return, and that he would be victorious, and that Jesus is the Messiah, not just Mary's boy, but the Son of God, God made knowable, God here for us, died for us, resurrected for us. So Mary, courageous Mary, stays when her kid dies. And Mary gets to see her son resurrected again, fully alive. Mary's lived an extraordinary life of faithfulness and courage. Mary really believed Jesus was exactly who God said he'd be for all of her life. That's why I want us to be more Mary, because she's always practiced that faithfulness. She's been courageous in the big yes. She's been faithful in the little ones. And she stayed witnessing to Jesus in every season. This is a disciple worth following. And the beautiful, beautiful truth of Mary is that what God did with Mary became a prophetic sign of what he would do for all of us. Now, we're not going to have an actual baby. God did that like once. It's a one-hit wonder thing. But Mary receiving the presence of God and then bringing to birth the life of God is exactly how God then gives us the Holy Spirit and works in his church. In Pentecost, at the birth of the church, what does God do? He sends his Spirit in a tangible way on all flesh. The disciples receive the presence of God. They now live carrying the presence of God, like Jesus was carried by Mary. We now carry the presence of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And then as we live and serve and speak and love our neighbors as ourselves, we give birth to the life of God in society, on our streets, and in our families around us. We're all like Mary. To be a Christian is to be more Mary. We receive God's presence, we carry God's presence, we give life through God's presence, and it just keeps going. So as you listen to the Christmas story, maybe 100 times in the next month, as you maybe choose to read it again when you get home tonight and look through Luke chapter 1, have a think. Because you're not as different to Mary as you think you are. For some of us, some in this community have experienced being marginalized and have experienced being in times where their life was at risk, like Mary. But all of us can take courageous steps and say yes to God. All of us can receive his presence. All of us can carry Jesus. And all of us can bring to life people around us with the good news through us. Why don't we stand together, and I'd love to pray for us to receive this life again. All I'm going to do is give some space in between some moments of prayer for the things I've touched upon out of the passage that gives you a chance to talk to God, maybe whisper or in your head or out loud. I don't mind, there's no rules. But we're just going to take some space for us to acknowledge some things that God might have said to us through the scriptures. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, presence of God, Thank you that you are with us, amongst us, and in us. I ask in the name of Jesus that right now we become more aware of your presence, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would speak to us through the life and example of your mum, Mary. God, will you help us and challenge us to be more Mary? Father, we acknowledge that we can be like Mary and have questions and doubts, and that's okay. So we acknowledge before you now the times when we've not really understood. And actually, we just acknowledge before you, it's okay that I don't get it, and it's okay to doubt, because so did Mary. And Lord, we would love to be the people of 1,000 secret yeses. That means if you ask us to do something big, we've already practiced saying yes to you loads. And so, Father, right now I ask that if there is something you're actually nudging us about currently, that's going to take a little step of faith, whether that's an invite thing, whether that's an apology we need to make, whether that's giving away something, whether that's taking somebody in, whether it's a phone call you need to make, whether it's an invite that needs to happen this week. Lord, whatever the little nudge is that's going to take some faith, we would love to be like Mary and be a yes people to you. So Holy Spirit, will you speak to us now on what that little yes moment might be, that we might be more like Mary and be courageous with our yes. And Lord, even as we worship you before every promise has been fulfilled, just like Mary could, we want to receive again your presence, the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, just like Mary carried the presence of Jesus. And so if you would like to ask God, yeah, God, would you fill me with the presence of Jesus again, that I might be more like Mary? I just invite you to either maybe hold out your hands as if you're receiving a gift, or put your hand on your heart if you'd like to picture God in your heart. But I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us again with his presence, that we might be more like Mary and carry Jesus as we go from here. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you see us opening our lives to you, saying, yeah, we want to carry Jesus. So come, Lord, and fill us with your presence, that we might be carriers of your good news, your love, and your life. Lord, help us to worship even before we've seen everything fulfilled. Increase in us the gift of faith as we worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.